But we're going to come today to a life verse of a dear lady in our church, and you hear it preached at funerals a lot, and this lady, to her credit, shared this verse with her father while he was still alive before he passed away. And this verse that we're going to study is a quotation of Jesus, one of his great I Am statements that's found in the Gospel of John. If you know about the Gospel of John, there are seven miracles that are performed. There are seven I Am statements, and this is one of them. And I want to include the story, though, that led up to this I Am statement. And the story contains a refrain. The same thing is said two or three times. And the refrain goes along these lines. It says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And I think you know which story we're going to talk about. Story of two sisters, Mary and Martha. They said this to the Lord Jesus Christ after their brother Lazarus had been buried. And some of those who came alongside Mary and Martha to console them, they may not have said that refrain to the Lord, but they were thinking the thought. They were thinking, you know, "Lord, you've healed so many people. Why weren't you here? You know, surely you could have healed your dear friend Lazarus." And so I want us to start by reading Scripture, John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. That's the first part of the story. We're going to skip a few verses, and then we're going to come to the end of the story in verses 43 and 44. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. "When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people who had come to pay their respects and to console Martha and Mary on their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus told her, 'Your brother will rise again.' 'Yes,' Martha said, 'when everyone else rises on Resurrection Day.' Jesus told her, this is a great I Am statement, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Do you believe this, Martha?'" That's an important question the Lord asks every one of us. "Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I always have believed that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world from God." And we're going to skip a few verses in this story. We're going to fast forward to verses 43 and 44. "Then Jesus shouted, 'Lazarus, come out.' And Lazarus came out bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, 'Unwrap him and let him go.'" This happened at the grave site or at the tomb where Lazarus had been buried. There, a noted Bible scholar, Donald Gray Barnhouse, said, "If God wants you to trust him, he puts you in a place of difficulty." Can you relate to that? Does God want us to trust him? Yeah. So where does he put us? He puts us in places of difficulty. But Barnhouse went on to say this: if he wants you to trust him greatly, he puts you in a place of impossibility. And we live in a time and we live in circumstances where I think God wants us to trust him greatly because we face a lot of impossibilities. But what is impossible with man is still possible with God. Scripture tells us that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, during his earthly life and ministry, Jesus had three great friends who were not part of his disciples, his band of apostles, if you will. There were two sisters and one brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The two sisters sent word to Jesus, and Jesus was a day or two journey away from where they were at, and they sent word. They said, come quickly. Brother Lazarus is sick. He's on his deathbed. Please come, save his life. And they knew that Jesus had healed hundreds and perhaps even thousands of people, and they had no doubt that Jesus could heal their brother. Now, Jesus, being the Son of God, by that time, by the time that he had received the message, Jesus already knew that Lazarus had passed away. You know, they didn't have cell phones. The messengers had to travel by foot. But at first glance, Jesus did something that was very strange in the story. After he received word by the messengers, you know, come, Lazarus is sick, come and heal him. After he received that message, he purposely waited an extra 2 days before traveling to the town of Bethany. And that might have seemed quite strange. And when he arrived in the town, he saw that his friend Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Why did Jesus wait? Well, being the Son of God, he operated in God's timing. He operated according to God's schedule. He went when it was the Father's will for him to go. That's the difference between Jesus and us a lot of times. We operate in our own timing. Jesus always operated in God's timing. That's a great skill to learn in life, isn't it? It takes a lifetime to learn that, to wait for God's timing. But Jesus was assuring his disciples that he was doing things all to God's glory. And we have the benefit of being able to look back on this incident, and we know the spiritual reasons for Jesus' actions. But I'm not sure that Martha and Mary could appreciate those reasons at that time. They were thinking very practically. They were pragmatically minded. And we've got to do what we can to save our brother's life. And they were devastated that their plan didn't work. I don't know if you can relate to that. You know, sometimes we have these great plans and they don't work, and we're devastated by that. Now, Jesus had a practical reason of why he delayed and got there 4 days after Lazarus had passed away. In the Jewish culture at that time, they believed a person's spirit did not depart from the body the first 3 days that the person died. On the fourth day, everybody was convinced that the spirit had departed from the body of the person. The person was officially recognized as fully dead. That was their culture. We don't have that understanding in our culture today, but that's the way they looked at things back then. And Jesus would use all of this to prove that he is truly a Son of God, and that he really does have power over death. You see, Jesus is the answer to death. Jesus is the answer to death. Jesus is the answer to death. Now, how would Jesus prove that? Well, he proved that by raising Lazarus from the dead even after 4 days had passed. No one in that culture would deny that Lazarus wasn't fully dead. They wouldn't question it. They knew Lazarus is really, really dead. And yet Jesus has power to overcome death. A fairly young man and a girl had already been raised from the dead by Jesus. And now Lazarus is probably a senior citizen. Jesus, it says in Scripture, Jesus raised 3 people from the dead. And so it included all age groups, a young person, a middle-aged person, and an old person. As you know, I often quote a preacher, an old preacher who's still on Christian radio, even though he died about 40 years ago, J. Vernon McGee. And concerning this story, he made 3 very profound statements. The first statement he made, the supreme question is, can Jesus raise the dead? That's a very important question, isn't it? The second statement he said is the big question in any religion concerns death. The third statement, he said, the question to ask of any religion is whether it has power over death. Those were all very similar questions, but they're the most important question to answer. And the answer in this story is a similar answer. Jesus can raise the dead. And the Christian faith does give the solution to the dilemma of death. And trusting our Lord Jesus Christ is a way that he shares his victory over death with us. Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection life. He's the one who helps us overcome death. Now, Jesus shared with Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everybody else, they will live again. They're given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Eternal life is a gift that comes from Jesus because we know who Jesus is. We know he's the Son of God. Just like Martha, he said, I've always believed that you're the Son of God. I've always believed that you've been sent by God. I've always believed in you, Jesus. And that's the kind of faith that we are called to have. Now, those who are given eternal life will never experience eternal death. They will experience the infinite love and light and joy of heaven. Jesus said, this is a free gift I provide for all who entrust their lives into my hands. It isn't just a mental belief. Oh, yeah, I believe, you know, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity and the Son of God. But it's talking about a personal trust. Yeah, I knew who Jesus is, and so I'm going to give him my life, and I'm going to let him be the Lord of my life, and I'm going to let him direct my life, and I give everything over to him. And now, God, you take control. You take the steering wheel. You drive my car. You show me how to go from here to there. Now, Jesus proved that he is the only answer to the question of death. He proved it by raising his friend Lazarus to life. But he proved it even more that after he was crucified for our sins, he was raised to life. Jesus' body is not in a tomb. He's risen just as he said, just as he predicted, and that's the bedrock of our Christian faith. He is risen. He solved the problem of death. He gives eternal life. And I'm going to go on a little further concerning that a little bit later in the sermon, but I want to just backtrack a little bit right here. The verbal theme of this story is, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. He'd still be alive because you would have healed him. We know you would have healed him. And when we first hear that, we might get the impression that these people were rebuking the Lord, perhaps. They maybe were a little bit mad or a little bit disappointed with the Lord. Lord, you let us down. We're your friends. Why would you let this happen to us? We thought we would never have to go through this. But, you know, I think we're reading too much into those words, into the people's reaction. Martha was the first person who said that, Lord, if you'd been here, Lazarus would still be alive. We might expect Martha to say that because she kind of had a boss lady personality. Don't look at Elaine. Some of you are looking at Elaine. But Martha was a lady of action. She specialized in hospitality. Elaine is smiling here, so it's good. I'm not offending her yet. She's a lady of action. She specialized in hospitality. And even though I'm sure she was disappointed, I think she had put every hope that the Lord would be able to get there in time to heal her brother. Right away, she followed up her statement, Lord, I can believe that you can still do a miracle even though he's dead. I still believe in you, Lord. You see, her faith was still strong. She had not lost her hope in Jesus when it looked hopeless. Lord, you can do whatever you want. She didn't say you got to raise him from the dead, but even now I know you can still do something. Lord, I still believe in you. And a lot of times we struggle with trying to understand God's purpose for some things in our lives. I get some people of you nodding with that. Yeah, we struggle. Why does God have us go through some things that we never wanted to go through? But we need to follow Martha's lead here. We need to never lose hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We still have hope, not because we know why. We still have hope because we know Jesus. I'm going to say that again. We still have hope, not because we know why. There's a lot of things we don't know why. We may never know why. But we have hope because we know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you have hope. And that describes Martha's life. Second person in this story who said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. The second person who said that was Sister Mary. And I think that she was more emotional than Martha. The loss was really hitting her hard. She's kind of, you know, slammed to the ground with her emotions. She had not yet come to an inner peace or acceptance. She was really struggling. And Jesus came with them to Lazarus' tomb. And in verse 35, it's the shortest verse in the New Testament, said Jesus wept. But that's a profound verse. I believe the Greek language says that Jesus was weeping quietly, not a loud wailing or whatever, but the people that are around noticed the tears of Jesus. And they saw how much Jesus loved Lazarus and how much he cared for the family. And they saw the tears running down his cheeks and they saw him falling to the ground. And we need to remember that Jesus shares our hurts and our sorrows. He knows. He feels for us. It's like he cries tears with us when we cry. And I'm convinced that those tears ministered to the emotional mess that Mary was in at that time. And with those tears, she knew that she was not alone. She knew that Jesus understood and Jesus cared and Jesus was there and Jesus was beside her. Jesus shares our sorrows. He shares everything we go through. We're never alone. We have Jesus. We entrusted our lives to Jesus Christ. We're never alone. He's there. He knows. But one thing we need to notice about Mary, when she said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. Where was she exactly? Well, Scripture says that she was at the feet of Jesus. It's been said that Mary, wherever you see Mary mentioned in Scripture, she was always at the feet of Jesus. She was laying her biggest burden at the feet of Jesus, the place of true worship. And I don't think she was blaming Jesus. She was worshiping Jesus, even though her heart was breaking. She laid her burdens down at the feet of Jesus, and guess what? Jesus took care of those burdens. And do you suppose that maybe Jesus will do the same thing for us? When we lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus, we fall at the feet of Jesus, we worship him, we lay our burdens down there. No, he will. He will take those burdens, and he'll deal with our burdens. We can trust him for that. But there was one other group, and maybe they didn't say it directly. Maybe they muttered it underneath their breast, or they said it to their friends or whatever. They were at least thinking, Jesus, if you'd gotten here sooner, Lazarus would not have died. He'd still be alive. This group was a crowd part of the crowd that came to bring consolation and console Mary and Martha. And these people, I believe, were actually blaming Jesus. Jesus, how could you do this to these dear people? You know, you said you were their friends. How can you treat your friends this way? You must not really love them. Or maybe you're not who people say you are. They were the critical bunch. And I hope there's no one here today that would react that way to our Lord. But, you know, we do need to look in the mirror and make sure that we don't fall into the same pit that these people fell into. There's always a temptation when things don't turn out the way that we want them to. There's always a temptation to perhaps blame God and get angry at God. So, as we look in the mirror, are we like Martha, that even in the face of great disappointment, she did not lose her faith in God? She didn't lose her faith in Jesus. She knew that Jesus could still do a miracle if it was his will. Or perhaps when we look in the mirror, we see that we're like Mary and we really struggle emotionally. It's like a big wave of emotion floods over us, but we still bow at Jesus' feet and we continue to worship him. And as we worship, we discover that he feels our pain and he cries tears with us and for us. And Mary's tears of grief and sorrow in just a few hours turned into tears of joy. Actually, just in a few minutes. She was totally devastated. She was an emotional mess, but Jesus raised her brother Lazarus back to life. Hopefully, we're not like that third group that criticizes and blames God and reacts in anger and disbelief. You see, there were a number of people that day who were asking why, but they handled it differently. Two of the ways that they handled it were okay, and God brought comfort and healing to them, Mary and Martha. But one of the ways is not okay. It's not the road to take. It doesn't bring us to a good place, and that's when we blame God. We get critical of God. And one thing that we need to notice, one last thing. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, what did Lazarus look like? Well, he was in his grave clothes. He probably looked a little bit like a mummy or something like that. They had to unwrap him out of the grave clothes. And he was raised from the dead. He was restored back to life, but he was going to die again. Now, contrast that with how Jesus rose from the dead, and we celebrated Jesus' resurrection on Easter not all that long ago. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was not wrapped in grave clothes, and they did not have to roll the stone away from the tomb to get Jesus' body out. You know, for Lazarus, they had to roll the stone away so that Lazarus could come out, but Jesus had a resurrection body that could pass through grave clothes and rocks and walls and doors. He had a resurrection body that would never die again. And that's why Scripture says he's the first fruits of the resurrection. And that word first fruits includes us. He's the first, but we are part of that harvest. We're going to receive resurrection bodies like Jesus rose from the dead. Not the way that Lazarus rose from the dead, but the way that Jesus rose from the dead. And we're going to be able to do incredible, phenomenal things. You know, you think about Jesus' resurrection body when he ascended up to heaven 40 days afterwards. You know, he gathered his disciples around him and, you know, he just ascended to heaven. And the disciples are looking up in the air, and their jaws are dropped, and they're just amazed. Wow, look at that. And finally, you know, Lord sent an angel, and he kind of gave them all a nudge. Hey, guys, quit staring up into space. This Jesus who went to heaven, he's coming back. But you guys get busy. You get serving the Lord. He gave you stuff to do, like the Great Commission. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to Jesus. By that same power, he calls us to go and make disciples of all the nations. And whoever, you know, believes in the Lord, they're going to be saved. But we're given we're given the promise of resurrection bodies. And that's really amazing. Jesus solved the problem of death. The question is, has he solved it for you? If you have given your heart, your life to the Lord, you've put your full trust in him. You know, it's not just a head belief, not just a mental belief, but you really have entrusted your life and your future to him, and you're his disciple now. He will direct you, and he will give you that resurrection body. And you don't have to fear death. And we don't have that weight of God's judgment on our shoulders anymore. Our sins are forgiven. We're free. And we don't have to fear death. We know where we're going to go. You know, I am afraid of heights. I don't like to be any higher than about 10 feet. I know I could probably hurt myself. If I fell off a ladder at 10 foot, I could still hurt myself, but I don't think I would die. But, you know, when I get that resurrection body, guess what? I'm not going to have fear of heights anymore, right? We'll just be able to ascend right straight to heaven. Amen? All right. Well, hopefully everyone here has given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't, though, and you have questions about it, talk to me, talk to Alex, talk to Bruce. We'd love to share with you. It's very simple. We'd love to share with you how you can conquer death through Jesus Christ, through Jesus' victory. He shares his victory with us. We just turn our lives over to him. Amen? All right. We're going to have our closing song, Make Me a Servant. It's a great prayer, and it explains how we need to view our lives. We are called, part of being a believer in Jesus Christ is, and we turn our life over to the Lord, he calls us to be servants, to serve others, to love others as we love ourselves. We are saved by the grace of God, and it's not by works, it's not by how good we are, because we're not good. All of us have sinned. We're saved through the grace of God, but now that we're saved, Ephesians 2:10 says we are saved to do good works. God wants to work through us. He has a bunch of good works pre-planned for our lives this week. God wants to use you this week. And so we make ourselves available. Okay, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? And that's what this song is all about. Make me a servant.